There's a whole book that was published by a rabbi in Chicago tracing back the lineage of Eastern European Jewry and showing that we're all practically one family, and that Rabbi Katzen Ellenbogen, who was very prolific, who had many children, we're all related to that family. But in any event, the Maram Mipadova was the Rav in Padua, Italy, and you have a strange blend, therefore, of a minig that is called until today the minig of the Italians, who were neither Sephardim nor Ashkenazim, but had their own customs. And, for instance, in the reading of certain haftorahs during the year, you'll still see it printed in the Chumashim. It says that this haftorah should be read according to the custom of the Italian Jews. The Italian Jews were unique because of the fact that they somehow combined in them both strains. They were really not Ashkenazim, but they had Ashkenazic rabbis who influenced them. And they were not Sephardim, but the Sephardim became the leaders of the Italian Jewish community. And the development of the Italian Jewish community can be traced to the Maram of Padua on one hand and to the family of Abarbanel on the other hand. He had three sons. One of his sons was a rabbi, one was a banker, and the third one was a well-known merchant. So if you have a son that's a banker and a son that's a merchant, you can afford to have one who is a rabbi. And these three sons established a very strong basis in Italy, and they were friends with all of the powerful noblemen of Italy. And again, Italy was fractured between hundreds of different little city-states who constantly warred with each other, made peace with each other, made different alliances back and forth. And in such a climate, the Jews were able to do quite well. And they were the basis, this one family. The Abarbanel family still exists today among the Jewish people. There are hundreds and hundreds of descendants of the Abarbanel family. And they more than anyone else, were the cement that held the Italian Jewish community together. One more thing regarding the Italian Jewish community, that the Maranos, when they came to Italy, brought with them, I don't know how to put it, but they brought with them certain non-Jewish traits which then wended their way into the Jewish community. If you've ever seen the great synagogue in Florence, which was built during that period of time, it is complete church architecture. But that was the way the synagogues, for instance, if you'll take a look at the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue in Amsterdam, Spanish-Portuguese synagogue in Amsterdam is traditional Jewish synagogue architecture. It has no flamboyance to it. It has no great architectural effort on the outside. On the inside, it has the famous Eastern mahogany wall of mahogany, matched mahogany that they brought from Recife, Brazil. And it has great engineering to it because it's built on a canal, it's built on piles in the water, and it moves with the tides. But it is not an architecturally impressive building. It's a historic building, but it's not an architecturally impressive. The synagogue in Florence, on the other hand, is just a magnificent piece of Renaissance architecture, and it is the way the non-Jews built it. If you'll see the famous ark, it's today at the Ponovitch Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. That Aron Kodesh, that ark is over 400 years old. And it was just regilded now by Mr. Jesselson. They put all the gold leaf back, and it is magnificent. I mean, to go see the yeshiva is worthwhile anyway, but to just